Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and life stories, making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. So as many of us are venturing out into the world, very gently, some of us, I'm looking at books that can help us be the best that we can be. And I recently had a conversation with Julia Pinsler about the importance of developing your core mindset. Well, today we're taking that a step further and exploring what it means to build your core spirit. And I think if you combine the wisdom in both of these books, you're going to be one powerhouse unto yourself. My guest is Kate Ekman. As a former elite athlete, she was totally focused on accomplishment. And although highly successful in her field, she knew she was missing out on a lot of life. In her new book, The Full Spirit Workout, Kate provides a 10-step system to shed self-doubt and create a fulfilling life. She is a broadcast journalist and TV personality who brings her expertise in communications, performance, and mindfulness to her practice as a success coach. Kate Ekman works with leaders in business and sports, as well as teaching meditation. And the full title of her book is The Full Spirit Workout, a 10-step system to shed your self-doubt, strengthen your spiritual core, and create a fun and fulfilling life. And here's my guest, Kate Ekman. Kate Ekman, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my joy to be here.
I am so pleased to talk with you because I love this book. The Full Spirit Workout shares your story, but it's primarily a great resource for those who need help strengthening their spirit. And that's just about everybody right now. We're coming out of a long period of lockdown and trying to define our new normal and, you know, what's going on. So the timing is perfect. You couldn't have done this better, could you?
It does feel like the perfect time. And even pre-COVID and pre-everything that we've been through in this country alone the past year, 15 months, I mean, now more than ever, we all need these inner fitness exercises to really strengthen and condition ourselves. And I think everyone is at the end of their rope in their own way. I think long before COVID, all of us have struggled with confidence or feeling good enough, or maybe we're achieving the things that we want in the material world, but we still are left with that feeling of, is this as good as it gets? Or
right.
Why don't I feel fulfilled? I have all the shiny objects that society says should make me happy, but I'm not. My life lacks meaning. So like you said, we're all past due for a little tune-up here and a little check-in with ourselves. And as someone said last week in an interview, which I loved, he said, you know, this is a life resource book that we can turn to again and again. And even as the person who wrote the book, I turn to this book again and again and do at least 5-10 minutes of practices a day to keep myself sharpened. Because even, I'll be totally candid here, I don't like admitting this, but even a couple minutes before this call, you know when you're on the phone with the customer service rep and they're not helping you and you just want your refund on your credit card and they can't help you and you feel yourself, at least for me, getting really annoyed. And that's when I'm like, ooh, I'm glad I have these practices. And I'm like, you need to sit your butt down and meditate for a minute because you are
right.
Not enlightened enough to not be annoyed by the customer service person who isn't helping you.
Right, right. Well, there's lots to talk about here. I have a ton of questions for you. And the Full Spirit Workout can definitely help us get through what we're going through right now. And as you said, I do think it's a practical guide that we can, you know, keep to hand and turn to again and again. Before we jump into the book, though, I'd like to just share a little bit more about you with our listeners, Kate, because you're not new to reinvention yourself. You were a former athlete, and you write that if you looked at my life from the outside, you might be surprised to learn that I spent most of my years getting in my own way, like many of us do. Despite achieving many goals and building a successful career, I was often in turmoil, filled with anxiety and insecurity. And, you know, a lot of people are that way. A lot of people are, as you write, again, more concerned about the outside version of what's happening and what people are thinking. So In hindsight, what was the turning point for you when you looked at inward and said, you know, I really need to start getting out of my own way?
Yeah, I had to have two massive wake-up calls, and that was losing two dear friends. One was my ex-boyfriend, one was a best friend, to suicide in 1 year. And it was not only dealing with the grief of these sudden, shocking, tragic deaths from people I loved very much, but also looking at myself and the way I was choosing to live my life, who, like many, placed all of my worth outside of myself and was living this sustainable hamster wheel rat race lifestyle of nothing ever being enough and just moving from one accomplishment and goal to the next without giving myself the proper self-care or without looking for the meaning and fulfillment and just doing what society says I should be doing and the name of making it happen and looking cool and impressing others. And it was an exhausting way to live. And when I looked around, I saw that most people were choosing to live their lives that way too. So I thought there has to be a better way of living. And as an athlete, I knew how hard I had to train my physical muscles to compete at such a high level for so many years. And I thought, you know, there must be a way that I can train my attitudinal muscles and get really fit and strong and healthy on the inside, have those strong mental and emotional and spiritual muscles. And that was my quest. And going back to school and getting so many certifications and diving deep into spiritual truths and principles and practices. And really, you know, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I definitely am a woman who has dedicated my whole life to doing the work and doing the research, because I was committed to this, not just for myself, but for the collective healing. And I believe everyone should live a life that lights them up, and that no one should be in a place where they even consider ending their life. That's why this work is so important to me.
Yes, and it's a shame that it takes those wake-up calls for us to, you know, step back and realize this, but at least, you know, fortunately you did, and that's what they're there for, in a way, I guess, you know, to learn from others. But one of the things I just want to get out of the way, a couple of definitions, and you kind of touched on this already, but let's just really clarify what you mean by spiritual fitness and a strong inner core. And I have to say, I love this, Kate, because a couple of weeks ago I talked with Julia Pinsler on developing our core mindset. And so this is perfect timing to discuss this too.
Yeah, so spiritual fitness is having the courage to be who we really are. And the full spirit workout is a play on the full body workout that you often hear advertised at the gym, but it's about bringing your full spirit, your authentic truth and power, your presence, showing up like you mean it and like you care, and your passion and your purpose. Your purpose is your why, which is so much bigger than us. It's giving our time, our energy, our commitment to a cause or organization bigger than ourselves. And that will keep you going on the days when it's hard to show up for yourself. So, you know, being spiritually fit means that you're comfortable and confident enough to be not only the polished, put-together person you present to the world, but also that messy, gorgeously flawed human behind the scenes, just trying to keep it all together. You know, that's us this past year in our sweats, probably crying at home, trying to juggle and manage it all, and really embracing him or her. And, you know, that person is real and relatable and lovable. And I think we're all pretending so much in this social media era and trying to look the part. I think it's so much more profound and powerful to just let ourselves be who we authentically need to be.
Yes, and I love, I wrote this down in my notebook, that I love the expression and the recognition it brings. You say, we've fallen asleep to the truth of who we are anytime we're in a place of turmoil and anxiety, insecurity. Just talk a little bit about that, because for some reason that really touched me.
Yeah, thank you. You heard me take that deep
yes.
exhale. And I came up with that when you're faced with, in my case, these two gorgeous humans who chose to end their lives. And I talk very openly about my own dark moments and struggles and being in that New York City pharmacy and contemplating taking a bottle of pills, not because I wanted to hurt myself. I was out of my mind.
You
I
just was wanted to go to attack. Sleep, right? And just, yeah, I think most people can probably relate on some level there.
Yeah, and that was a moment. And just like the men who left us, they weren't in their right mind when they did that. And all it takes is a moment for us to fall asleep to the truth of who we are and how powerful we are and how much we matter and how important we are, even if we don't believe it or feel it in a certain moment, and to come back home to that truth. Because luckily, my brother was on the phone with me. He's a physician. He snapped me out of it. I came to, if you will, like, oh, wait, what are you even doing? And that shook me to my core, because it's like, I was always the happiest person I knew. And if I was in this state of despair, I really worried about the people around me. And I'm like, how did we get here? What is going on? But then it makes sense how we all get to a dark place when we put all of our worth outside of ourselves. We don't spend enough time caring for ourselves, or even just sitting alone in silence with ourselves, checking in and really getting clear about who we are at our core. And what we really want, not what society says we should want, or what your friends are doing, or what mom wants you to do. What do you really want? And all my coaching with really high-achieving individuals, most people cannot answer, who am I, underneath all this stuff, titles and labels, and what do I really want? And that's heartbreaking, Vicki. Heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And one of the things, so much to talk about here, you mentioned social media. In the book, you say, you know, the S word used to mean avoid sugar. Now it's avoid social media, because, you know, for one thing, it's such a time drag. And then it does, study after study after study has shown, it increases feelings of worthlessness, of depression. So it's nobody's friend, really. And also, I want to look at a notion that you talk about, that everyone has got it together. Everybody thinks everybody's got it together. I know you've heard that. I've certainly heard it myself. And it's very disempowering for someone to think that everybody else has it together and they don't. And secondly, it's kind of dismissive of other people who try to keep it together. And, you know, it's like saying you don't have any problems, you don't have any concerns or challenges.
Yeah, I would dare to argue, if you feel like you don't have any challenges, you probably aren't doing much. Maybe
right.
Like, maybe you're 85 and retired and just on a permanent vacation, and it's like, what do I want for lunch today, the chicken or the salmon? You know, but most of us aren't independently wealthy 85-year-olds in like the last 2 years of their life. And those people are experiencing their own struggles, probably health-related, or maybe many of their loved ones are no longer living. But you know, there is this notion that you reach a certain level and you're no longer struggling. Oh, well, you look the part. You look a certain way. You've got a certain amount of money. Must be nice to be you. But everyone struggles with confidence, with feeling good enough in their own way. Maybe they're super confident at their job, but they lack the confidence to have a difficult conversation with someone that they're at odds with. Or you look at the best athletes in the world. They train harder than anyone, not because they're the worst, but because they're the best. So talent merits investment. And I think there's people that's like, oh, I don't need this book, or I don't need this course, or I don't need to go back to school. And maybe you don't, but I invite you to consider what kind of life do you want to live? Or maybe you are super comfortable, and that's a problem because you're not actualizing your full potential. And that's why step one in the book is stretch your comfort zone. That's, you know, just this arbitrary boundary we've created in our minds based on fear. But when you stretch and step out of that, that's where life gets really juicy and more meaningful. And you grow and transform into the person who can achieve more, who can find more meaning and fulfillment in your everyday life. So I just think this is, it's so good to open yourself up to something. As I like to say, you know, just be willing. Be willing to show up in a different way. Be willing to try something new. Be willing to forgive that person. Be willing to unleave the healthy job or relationship and really open yourself up to how good life can really be.
Yes, and it's not until we do that, until we open up and are willing to be uncomfortable a little, that things will start to change. You know, the Full Spirit Workout is a 10-step system to shed your self-doubt, strengthen your spiritual core, and create a fun and fulfilling life. And so I went through and I pulled out a couple of things that I really wanted to focus on that we haven't really discussed before from this perspective. And I want to jump to step four, if we can, and just look at developing your core confidence. And first, let's define what you mean by confidence.
Yeah, confidence stems from the words to trust, to do something with trust. And what's great about that is that it can be developed and improved and worked upon, and it isn't about all the stuff outside of ourselves. It's something from within that only truly can come from within that you can then project outward. So that's the great news. And I encourage people to come up with their own definition of confidence. One of mine is confidence is the spark that lights up any room. Who doesn't love that person that's just energetic and joyful and enthusiastic about life and about people and curious and having fun? That's confidence. It's not, again, that perfect put together, because I've been that person as a TV presenter. I looked the part, confidence up and down on the outside, and felt so lacking in self-worth on the inside. That's why I developed these tools. And I did so much research around confidence, because I believe that when we are all more confident, we treat ourselves better, we treat others better, and again, we do the things that we're supposed to do that can help uplift the world. We have goals so much greater than our own personal gain. And when I did my research, I came up with the 5 P's of confidence, and they are presence, patience, purpose, preparation, and practice. And because I love you and your audience, I'll give you 2 bonus P's, and that is pause, and person, as in be a person. Like my speaking coach, Eduardo, always says to me, just be a freaking person. I think there's this notion now, like, oh, we have to be perfect and give this perfect presentation on Zoom or in person or show up on the date looking perfect and acting perfect, whatever the heck that even means. And, you know, just be a person is liberating. It takes the pressure off, and you just get to be authentic, which is what everyone wants. It's just
right
for you, really, you know.
Absolutely. So, we don't want to feel we're being lectured at or spoken to by, you know, some Stepford speaker. So yeah, definitely.
I love that.
So you know, one of the things that you just talked about was a great segue into my next question is perfectionism. Because, you know, one of the things I've seen a lot, and I'm sure you're probably running into this too, is that people are saying they've lost their confidence. This is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. They've lost their confidence while being on lockdown, and they feel they've lost some of their social skills, et cetera, et cetera. But perfectionism is such a huge issue for so many people, and it can be so destructive on a number of levels. It can hold us back, keep us stuck, keep us from even trying. So from your perspective, let's talk about perfectionism and how it affects our confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, when we're dwelling in perfectionism, that's another example of falling asleep to the truth of who we are, because we are created, you know, by the same powerful force that created the sun, the moon, and the stars. We were created in that perfect image, whether you believe in God or not. I choose to believe. So I think one of the keys to getting your mojo back when it comes to letting go of your perfectionism is to reframe it. For me, I was like, I'm such a perfectionist, and it's holding me back. And my friend Natasha said, you know, you care, and that's a good thing. So what if we can reframe this to, I have a respect for mastery, and that feels so much better than I'm a perfectionist, because respect for mastery means I care about you and your experience and want to put out a really great product. So try a reframe with that, and 2 ways to get there quickly are 2 words, what if. So what if I'm not a perfectionist? What if I just care? What if I want things to be really nice because I want people to have a good experience? What if this can be easy? What if? And then you just get into that fun where you're in your curious brain instead of your anxious brain, just being playful. Like, what if this? What if that? Instead of, oh, this is so hard. What if this wasn't hard? What if this was easy? What if this was an opportunity to heal and grow? What if I could call my friend Vicky and talk to her about this? Maybe Vicky deals with this too. What if Vicky and I could do a whole interview about this and help people? Ooh, what if we could, you know, and see how much fun I'm even having just
thinking
this. So that changes the energy. And I think when you're in perfectionism too, that means that you're either obsessing about the past or obsessing about the future. So if you can just dwell in the present moment, sit down, focus on your breath, and just be present. You will feel how perfect, to use that word, how perfect everything feels in the present moment, because you're just embracing exactly who you are and where you are.
I love that notion. I have a respect for mastery. I love that I just care. I love it. I love it, love it. So I want to jump to step number 7, which is step up your spiritual stamina. how do we learn to trust? You talk about trust in there. How do we learn to trust so that we remain open to transformation? You know, things I hear from people all the time are, well, I've tried stuff before and it never works, or it never lasts, or, you know, if I do this, people are going to get upset with me. But where does trust come into this to open up transformation?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite parts in the book, and it's actually, it was funny, I was quoting myself, and it was just a divine download I got when I was actually going through another big rejection. And I talk openly about just hearing this voice that said, being okay if it happens and okay if it doesn't is a very powerful place to be. And what that message of relief and surrender means, that, you know, whether I get the job or I don't, I'm okay. And not just feeling that or understanding it intellectually, but moving that knowledge from the head down into the heart and locking it into your body and feeling it in your bones. And that's what happened to me on that day after being rejected. It was actually a book deal. And obviously I got a book deal because here we are talking about it, but it happened 2 weeks after I really did just release and surrender. And I thought, you know what? I don't care when it happens anymore, because I know that it will. I know that this is a divine assignment. And when the timing is right, it will happen. And in the meantime, my life is so full and fabulous that I don't really have time to write this book right now anyway. So when the perfect time presents itself, here it goes. And I think just releasing that, or I think we're all guilty of gripping so tightly to our goals that we actually repel them. And you see this play out in relationships all the time, where the person just comes on too strong out of a place of desperation or fear and turns the other person off. So I think the more we can just dwell in that and being okay if it happens and okay if it doesn't, knowing that if it's not this, it will be something even more profound and meaningful and right for you, and to just release the rest, just like trust in that, and then release the other nonsense, go about your business, but stop with the obsession because you trust. And again, I know this sounds easier said than done, and it certainly is, but that's why this is a practice, and just committing to this way of being, and then it becomes easier and easier, and then you become the person who naturally attracts the relationship, the love, the money, the opportunities, the experiences, rather than trying to force so much and control and come from a place of that fear and desperation. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And perfect again, right? It makes perfect
yeah.
sense. But
I love it.
But I think that, you know, when we realize that one of the things that I used to struggle with, for example, is the word surrender. To me, that was giving up, you know, and it's not. And I recognize that now, but it took me a long time to get to that point where I can say, okay, surrender just means, for me at least, you know, just doing the best I can, showing up in the right frame of mind and doing the work, getting my butt in the chair and doing the work. And then, you know, whatever's going to happen from that is going to happen. And I think a lot of people struggle with that word surrender too.
Yeah. And the perfect story that I talk about to illustrate that is the reason that I'm even alive. My mother tried for nearly 8 years to get pregnant and couldn't. Doctors told her, it's not going to happen for you. If you want to have children, you have to adopt. And she was devastated. And obviously she got pregnant because I'm alive. I'm her biological child. I have an older brother. And I said, well, how did you get pregnant then? Because she always called us miracle children. And I know all of us are miracles, everything it takes to, you know, be alive, but she said, you know, I gave up. And she didn't mean that whole throw in the towel or stop, you know, being with my dad. She said, I gave it up to a higher power. Yeah. And I think that took the stress and pressure off of her body, because when she made that decision, again, from her body, not just in her mind, she got pregnant with my brother a month later, which is unheard of after everything she had been through. And my brother and I are only a year and a half apart. So to have a healthy boy and girl, miracle children, as she calls us, in 2 years, it makes me want to weep, especially because I wouldn't be alive without her making that shift in her mentality. And this stuff works if you do the work. It's so powerful, and I believe in it so much. And I know it does take practice, and sometimes people don't want to believe it. But the fact that I'm alive because of this mentality, I'm believing it. And I've just seen all of the miracles that have taken place in my life and the people around me by beefing up their spiritual fitness, even if they don't know that that's what they're doing. And I really believe in people. I want people to do what makes them happy and what's going to, you know, infuse and light up and energize the world. And that's why I can't talk about this stuff enough, because so many people don't believe in themselves anymore. And it's just, I've made it my mission. I'm like, I'll believe in you for you until you're able to do it yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I actually know two couples who adopted, and the second they adopted, almost they got pregnant. So again, that's that struggle, you know, they gave it up. You know, also the other thing is, once we've got these tools to hand, even if we're not practicing them, we've raised some level of consciousness. And so once we start becoming aware, then that's a good time to go back to the book and really revisit it.
Absolutely. And especially when you start seeing results, Vicki, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that's for me. I'm like, this stuff works. So it is like the gym, where at first you go for a few months, you're like, I see no results, I don't feel any different. And then suddenly you're like, wow, I just feel better. I have more energy, or whatever it is. And the same is true with this. So you'll start noticing like, gosh, I'm just getting along with people better. My, you know, confidence is just on point. I keep attracting all these incredible opportunities, and I'm not even trying. They're finding me. Or I feel life is just fun again. So you'll start seeing the results. Other people will be like, did you change your hair? Like, what'd you do? No, I've just been working out my spirit. I've just been getting fit on the inside. And then it has this whole cumulative effect. Or even if you're just, when you go to the grocery store, you're kind and genuine with the cashier. There's just, these things create a ripple effect that our world is in so desperate need of right now. So let's be part of the uplifting of the world, like now more than ever, especially when it could certainly use a boost.
Absolutely. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I always make a point, when the clerk says, how's your day going? And I say, good. I always ask, how's yours going? And some of them come back in surprise. Oh, thank you for asking.
Yes.
It's the little things. I want to look at step 9. I love this, rock the freedom style. And you say, this is where we really start making spiritual fitness work for us and become a way of life, because that's the ultimate goal, to get this to become a way of life. You talk about self-rejection, and there's a lot of lip service, as you say in the book, paid to the term self-love, but rarely do we hear anyone talk about self-rejection. And I did do a show a few years back with Susan Anderson, psychotherapist, on self-abandonment, and this has always fascinated me, why we do this to ourselves, why we reject ourselves. So I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about what self-rejection looks like and why we do it. How do we stop it?
Sure. So self-rejection looks like, this is really the difference between what I want and what I really want. For example, and sorry if this triggers anybody, but I want to eat the entire pizza. What I really want is optimal health and fitness, and to feel as healthy and as fitness strong as I can be. And certainly there are times to eat the whole pizza. I'm not a diet person at all, but I was one of those people who wanted pizza like every other night. And it just isn't healthy. Or, you know, what I want to do is tell that jerk they're really being a jerk. But what I really want is to feel at peace in my life. And so, you know, we get so upset when other people reject us or overlook us or, you know, betray us. But if we're really honest with ourselves, nobody rejects us or betrays us more than ourselves in many instances, where it's like, you know, you can't eat that, or you know, you can't say it, but you do it anyway. It's a form of abandonment or rejection or betrayal, whatever you want to say. And the way that we stop doing that is to first be aware that we're doing that, and then to just make another choice. And you have to do these exercises of, you know, taking that toxic limiting belief and deleting it like you would the toxic virus on your computer, and then co-creating a new way of being. For example, if you have a core belief that says, I have to have 30 years of experience to even have a job or career that I like, you know, throw that out the window, because what you do is you're going to go around and collect evidence for that. If you have a core belief that says, I have everything I need right now in this moment to get my dream job, you will start collecting evidence from that as you go about your life, and then sooner or later, you will have that thing. So I think as long as we can be real with ourselves, sometimes we don't even realize how critical we are of ourselves. And,
right.
And I speak about that story in the book where I was publicly body shamed while working as a swimsuit model, and how hurtful it was. But then I thought, wow, you have dished out some really unjust criticism of your body. And so healing that, rather than, we like to focus on what everybody else is doing wrong, all the jerks or whatever it is. But I think if we're honest, we can realize that we've all been jerks, especially to ourselves.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely. That's very true. I want to just end today with a check-in that you do for 5 minutes a day. I do a similar kind of thing because I do a walking meditation every day when I walk my dog. I just go into this zone. It's the only time when I'm walking, kayaking, horse riding, or sailing, when my mind, I can get it completely blank.
I love that.
Yeah. And so you say for 5 minutes a day, and we've all got 5 minutes a day, get quiet, reflect, talk to yourself, check in. And one question that I added to my daily list couple of months ago when I heard somebody talking was, what am I not anticipating or where am I unprepared for, you know, what I want to do? So would you talk to us about that a little, about your daily check-in and what the importance of that?
Yeah, I call it my sit and stare time. And I actually came up with this just a few weeks or a week into lockdown last March, because I think we were all kind of like, what the heck is going on? I mean, it was just so foreign for all of us. And so I found myself doing a lot of this sit and stare time, just staring out the window or staring straight ahead and just try to process and reflect and check in with myself like I would a small child and ask, how are you doing? What do you need right now? And the days I was feeling extra bold and courageous, I would say, great job. I mean, you got out of bed and like did a few things today, navigating this such uncertain time by yourself. Or, you know, I'm so proud of you. I that's another thing, just like the self-rejection. How often do we acknowledge ourselves and say, I'm so proud of you? It almost sounds silly or foreign, like, oh, you're so arrogant, you're so proud of yourself. But we've got arrogance and humility backwards. It is humble, not arrogant, to think that you're a fantastic human being, you know, especially if you believe in a higher power. So I think just having that time to reflect and to check in with yourself, distraction-free, that's the other thing. We're all so exhausted beyond comprehension from all the distractions and the social media and the news and people needing and wanting things from us that we really need to take that time to sit quietly in a room alone and simply be. And the good news about that, besides that you will feel a lot more peaceful, you will become a lot more productive, and then you won't have to try so hard. You'll hear these, I call them divine downloads or intuitive hits, where you'll get the message that says, oh, hey, reach out to Vicky and ask her about blah, blah, blah. Or, hey, why don't you email that organization about volunteering? You'll start to get this intuition flowing where that will co-create with you. And it's a lot more intelligent than our ego minds that are always telling us how we don't quite add up.
Well, it's been so great talking with you. I could talk to you for a couple of hours at least. The book.
Let's keep going.
The book is called The Full Spirit Workout, the 10-step system to shed your self-doubt, strengthen your spiritual core, and create a fun and fulfilling life. Because I love that you have fun in the title. It's something people forget, right, Kate?
Oh, we so forget, and we all need more fun. That's what you know, happened to me too. A psychologist friend said, what are you doing for fun? And I had a really lousy answer. So see, I've had to do the work too.
I have fun every day, even if I'm the only one who thinks it's fun.
Exactly. Hey, a walking meditation is fun. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, I know listeners can find out much more about you at kateekman.tv, kateekman.tv. The book, again, The Full Spirit Workout. A final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with, Kate?
I just want everyone to remember how powerful they are and that you can do absolutely anything you decide is important enough. So let's get clear on it. Let's have some fun and let's go. Life is meant to be savored and enjoyed, and the world needs your special and unique gifts and strengths. So let's do this. Let's go.
Perfect. And thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your unique gifts with us today. Very much appreciate it, Kate.
It's been a delight. Thank you so much, Vicky.
If you have questions, comments, or feedback regarding today's podcast, you can reach me on our website at conversationslive.net. Thanks for joining us today. We'll have a new podcast go live next Wednesday. Until then, live well, live strong.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.